Do you long for a simpler life? Today's guest shares how each of us can live an uncomplicated and compelling life. Don't go anywhere. Staying real about faith and family begins right now. Welcome to Staying Real About Faith and Family. If you're looking for a community where you can get real about life without resistance, you're in the right place. I'm Linda Goldfarb. And each week, Heather Greer and I, along with our guests, offer personal insight to encourage transparent living from a biblical viewpoint with practical applications. Staying real with the Holy Spirit's leading is what we're all about. We pray that today's episode blesses you. Let's go to Father. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you bring to us, all that you promote in and through us. And Father, we ask that you will show us favor today, that your words will be our words, that our hearts will be in unity and falling in line with what you desire for your kids. If at any time there's something that we say that you don't want your children to hear, we ask that you remove it, delete it. We know all things are possible through you, and we trust you to be our editor in times when we maybe aren't the best. We love you, Father, and we thank you. We thank you for who you're bringing to the show today. Father, we just ask for your covering. We ask for your words to permeate this episode and for you to receive glory in all that we do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Welcome, everyone. And please welcome my great friend and co-host, Heather Greer. Heather, so good to be here with you today.
It is good to be here this morning. And I am really looking forward to this because I'm that personality, Linda, you know me. I like uncomplicated. I like kind of go with the flow, easygoing. Don't really like it when the rapids hit. And so I think everybody, I mean, I can't think of anybody in my sphere of friendship that doesn't need uncomplicated. You know, that's what I hear time and time and time again. So I think this episode is going to be great. And I am really looking forward to our conversation today.
I am too. And I'm in agreement with you. I think it's very easy for us to complicate everything, right? And even when we're told that we could simplify things, they seem to be more complicated once we dive into what they're actually telling us to do. And I have been looking at a lot of gardening stuff. We're getting ready to start our garden. And as we're out there and getting the weeds out and getting all the junk out, and we're actually going to lay a raised bed. So we'll have four of them in the area that we'll garden. And so I'm looking up stuff on YouTube and it goes simple ways too. And then I'm looking at it and it's almost like, you know, 26 steps to be, and I went, okay, well, that's how, why that's not simplified, but having it uncomplicated. And also I like what our guest is going to bring because it's that compelling life, that thriving life, where others perhaps can look at each one of us and go, you have something that I really need. And I think when we uncomplicate, we do begin having a life that is very compelling. I can't wait for today's episode.
Well, we're both excited for today's guest. And listeners, we want to welcome you and we hope you're excited about today's guest. It's Brenda Yoder. Brenda is a licensed mental health counselor and author of Uncomplicated, Simple Secrets for a Compelling Life, and Fledge, Launching Your Kids Without Losing Your Mind. She's featured in the Washington Post and Guideposts, and she hosts the Life Beyond the Picket Fence and Midlife Moms podcasts. We're happy to have Brenda Yoder join our conversation as we discuss how to live an uncomplicated and compelling life. Brenda, it's great to have you here on Staying Real About Faith and Family.
Thanks so much. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, Brenda, I can tell you, and we'll talk a little bit more later about your book, The title is so intriguing, and I wish we had multiple episodes already lined up for us to take portions of this and offer simpler servings, because you have so much to offer us to help us get into an uncomplicated mindset. And I'm really excited about that. Share with us first, how can our listeners live simply when, I mean, truthfully, life is chaotic and it is more complicated today. So how is that even possible?
Yeah, I think what you just said is really important. It's a mindset. And when we think about our forebears, when we think about our grandmothers or our great-grandmothers, their life was not really any less complicated than ours. Their life was harder. They had physical obstacles in front of them daily just to have to carry out their daily lives, right? They had to milk the cow to bring in the cow to feed their children. They had to go out and kill the chicken, bring the chicken in to fix for the meal that was going to be served as the next meal. They had children who had complicated diseases and were dying an early death. We tend to think in our very rushed and immediate culture that every problem that is presented before us is something new and catastrophic, when in reality, nothing is new to humanity. In Ecclesiastes, the author says, nothing new is under the sun. We have lost models of people in front of us in our daily lives all the time who are walking out a balanced, grounded, persevering lifestyle that we can look to and say, my troubles are hard, but their troubles are also hard or even harder. But you know what? I see them walk out this authentic faith that isn't shaken by the waves and the crashes that come their way. And in decades past, that was part of the fabric of life. We were all living difficult lives. There wasn't social media telling us that everything should be simple. So I think a shift is this mindset to say, I can do this because God has created me as a human with the capacity to overcome obstacles and to face hard things. And there's nothing new about what I'm facing. And I can do this. And I know that sounds simple, but honestly, that is the difference. The difference is, we have lied to ourselves and we believe the lies that are chaotic, instant gratification culture, everything's supposed to be happy. We have forgotten that life is hard, but we don't have to respond with devastation and fatalism. We can actually say, okay, this is what I have to face today. And you know what? Let's figure out how to get through it.
And I mean, yes, what you said. I had the opportunity growing up to spend, both my parents came from farming families, mm-hmm. with a lot of children. And over the years, I had the opportunity to go and spend quite a bit of time in West Virginia on my mother's family's farm and milk the cows and slop the hogs and walk behind two big horses plowing fields. The work was tedious, and you worked from the time you got up to when you went to bed, or when the sun went down, right? Sun went down. Oh, okay. Well, that's the time clock for what you're mm-hmm. going to do. And I think it gave me a respect to maybe have a work ethic that was, you just do what you have to do because mm-hmm. that's what you have to do. And you're right. We don't have that today. Mm-hmm. Everything that we see on social media, well, I probably shouldn't broad brush everything, but I venture to say correctly, majority of what we see on social media, of what is revealed to us, is not real. It's not what's really happening in the life of an individual, especially if everything is, oh, it's all roses and it's all beautiful and life is great and all these smiley faces, and behind what's going on is real life, and we're being blinded to the fact that life is difficult, not just for us, but for everyone. Yet we can thrive, right? We can move beyond the challenges and embrace life. And I think what you're going to share with us is how we can do that by actually living less complicated life, which I'm really looking forward to that as well.
I love the shift in perspective, you know, that life, there is nothing new. Life is hard. And you're right. In some respects, we have forgotten that. I mean, we all go, oh, this is so hard. This is so whatever. But it's like we treat it like it's an unusual thing rather than, no, this is life. Since the fall, this is what we get, you know? And just having to deal with it, like you said, and looking at that perspective and thinking about what Linda was saying about like what we see on social media, my husband and I were just having this conversation on the way to church yesterday that, you know, you get to church and you see all the happy people with their smiles and how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing great. I'm blessed. I'm, you know. And what we don't see is the argument they were having with their spouse while they were trying to get their kids ready and get them shoved in the car, the stress from trying to get everything laid out and get everything in the car on time and get there on time. And, you know, we don't see that side of it. We only see one perspective. We see that, oh, we're already there and this is what we do perspective. Just seeing that in that one small area. And then Linda talking about social media and seeing it there, it really has warped our idea of what life is. And that doesn't mean it's bad. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean there's not places for joy and happiness and blessing and feeling good about it, thriving, you know. Now, you have apparently had an experience that many of us don't get. You lived on a farm in Amish country. How does that affect how you help people with mental health issues and an unhealthy lifestyle?
Sure. So probably it's a simple example is, so I was a dairy farmer's wife for about 17 years. We still live right here on the family farm. We're in one of the third largest Amish Mennonite communities in the country. And so it's a real big tourist area in Shipshewana, Indiana. And probably the story that I share the most is that one thing I learned as a dairy farmer's wife is that it doesn't matter what happens. Cows have to be milked twice a day, every day. There's no avoiding that task. There's no saying, oh, mom died yesterday, we can't do this today. No, mom died yesterday and you still get up and you still milk cows. We had a situation that happened several years ago where one of our neighbors who were milking cows, their whole barn was destroyed due to a tornado, but our barn was not. And they had 100 cows that they needed to be immediately milked. Otherwise, they would have not only just lost their building, but they would have lost their whole livelihood, and the health and welfare of 100 cows would have been destroyed. So my brother-in-laws said, well, they can come down and use our facility, which is a big deal. Like that's a lot of logistics of keeping two separate herds of 100 cows separate, keeping the milk production separate. Where are you going to house an additional 100 cows? You just don't, it's like having 100 people over to your house. You just don't like have an additional 100 rooms. But I saw the community come together. I saw our neighbors come together. They did the next steps. They hooked up the cattle trucks. They brought the cows down to our milking parlor. We got through the first milking, which was the immediate next step. And then we figured out next, okay, how do we do this for the extended time for a few weeks, maybe even months, until your facility is done? And I use that example often in the counseling office with people to say, whatever problem or obstacle is in front of you, there is always a way through it. And usually it's just figuring out the best next step. And then after you take the best next step, you step back and you say, okay, We were resourceful in doing what was needed right now. Now, what do we need to do to solve this problem for the longer term, and then really in the long haul? And because when you live on a farm, or when you are in cultures where we don't have a committee that comes together to figure out what is next, where we just say, well, because we don't have the best option, then we don't know what to do. Most cultures that aren't as advanced as a lot of the more technological cultures with a lot of resources, they have to figure out really disruptive problems all the time. And they use resourcefulness. Resourcefulness is one of the secrets of a compelling life, of a complicating life, is using creative problem solving in unusual situations. And it doesn't have to be as monumental as, you know, milking cows. These are really our everyday problems that we have to figure out what to do next. And my job as a school counselor with elementary kids, my kindergarten through fourth graders come to me daily with problems that are out of their control, that are often in their homes from parents who maybe are not healthy parents. They're not parenting well, and their choices are impacting kids. I can't solve that problem for the child, but what I can do is help the child problem solve what they have control of, whether they're 8 or 10 or 6. And you put things in place to remove the obstacle, to walk around the obstacle, or to figure out how to do life in a way that is healthy and abundant if that obstacle never moves. Because life really is about not having an easy-go-lucky life. There's nothing in scripture that tells us life is supposed to be easy-go-lucky. It is really about inviting God into our life to say, Lord, you've allowed this, whether it's a small problem or a big problem. Now help me with the faculties that you have given me as a human, with this brain that you've created, to work without Google, without Siri, without Alexa, without AI. And you've given me the capacity to figure this out, because this is not outside of your knowledge of what's happening in my life.
What really resonates with me in what you said was that next step. What is the next immediate step? And immediately, that old, I don't know if it's a saying, joke, whatever, it carries truth. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, you know? And we do think that we have, and maybe it does go back to our immediate culture, that we have everything just at our fingertips. But when we're faced with a problem, we think the perfect solution should be just boom, right there. You know, you're talking about with the cows, you milked them. That was the immediate thing that needed answered. It's like we've lost sight of that. We think we need the big final answer rather than just take it step by step by step. And sometimes when you're doing those steps, I've found the next step becomes clearer. The next answer comes to you. And it's like, oh, this is what we can do. As we're milking the cows this day, we think about, oh, we can shift. And these people say they can take 10 cows. And these people say they can take 10 cows. And, you know, it becomes clearer, where trying to come up with that from the beginning may be overwhelming. But we're so used to having everything just pow right now that we lose the idea of take it a step at a time. And I really love that.
And I think the other thing too that I want to mention, because this went back to kind of Linda's example of the garden, is that we've also lost the art of taking risk. You know, our brain is designed to learn from our experiences. We have taken away the creative superpower inside our brain that God has created our brain to be. And our brain is designed to take every life experience and we learn from it. And so even in gardening, you know, you don't have to look up Google to know how to garden. You just try it and you realize, you know what, this year, this didn't work out. So next year I'm going to try this. And that's really what we as humans are designed to do, is to learn from our mistakes. But we're in a culture that has coddled the idea that any type of failure or mistake is so detrimental that then we have created, you know, this really big mental health issue of depression and anxiety that is upheld by this belief that I don't have the capacity to learn from mistakes or to survive things that don't feel good. And we really need to go back to really just the basics of humanity to say, God has designed us to learn and to learn from our mistakes and to learn from our successes. And that's what leads to a compelling life, is that we say, well, I tried that, didn't work out, but I'm going to try this because what I learned from that is XYZ.
Amen. All right. And several things, Brenda, that you mentioned is that, and I love this. We'll have you back on and do a parenting segment. Helping others problem solve is better and more productive than solving the problem for them. I mean, it goes back to the biblical adage of it's better to teach someone to fish than to fish for them. So, you know, let's equip, let's come alongside, and allowing individuals to fail well, which is part of one of the teachings that I would do with Parenting Awesome Kids. And it helps us to know, oh, we're going to fall. Oh, life is not easy. Oh, but look, I can get up and stand up and go on. And then when life gets harder, because it will, we look at it and go, oh, opportunity, dust off, get up, walk out. And for families of faith, prayerfully, we guide them in the direction of biblical truth. And that's what I have to lean on, right? In my everyday life is I get up with me. I know what life is like here. I could easily put on a face of, you know, everything is beautiful. Yet I still have to wind up with me at the end of the day. And so I go to the Word and I ask Father, guide me, show me, bring others into my proximity so I can learn. And having the opportunity to live in Amish country, which I will say, I have been to Shipshawana. Had I known that you were there, I would have contacted you and said, Brenda, I'm in your neighborhood. And went to the museum there, went to, I mean, just so much. And just the lifestyle is, it takes me back to the farming days when I spent time as a child on my grandparents' farm. And running water, it's when you got a bucket of it from the creek and ran to the house with it. That was running water. We didn't have it. We heated our water on a wood burning stove. So you had to chop the wood. You had to put the wood into the stove and then you heat the water. And so, you know, then you could have a bath for however long the water remained warm. All that to say, anxiety is lower. We put so much pressure on ourselves that it, as I think I said this at the beginning, we tend to complicate our lives more than is necessary at all. So how can we live in more of the middle way? I mean, not everyone that we know wants to live an Amish lifestyle. Yet, golly, with everything we're faced, there's got to be middle ground. There's to have that uncomplicated and compelling life that others would be drawn to. So I'm here ready to take notes. Let's go with this.
So I think one thing is really putting your own priorities in front of you. So one of the questions that really prompted me as I was putting together this book on complicated simple secrets for a compelling life was during the pandemic, I was posed with the question, what if this life is as good as it gets? So there's this element of that is reiterated in Psalm 90 that says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I think that when we really know what we're doing, why we're doing it, it helps us be less complicated because we aren't overthinking all the things. We kind of know where we're going. So for an example, I give this kind of this middle lane analogy in the book because it was something that happened with me. I was traveling to O'Hare Airport with one of my adult children who were flying out, and they were driving, and they were driving in the middle lane. I was really getting irritated because I was like, you need to move over to the left lane to pass these people because that's what you do when you drive on the way to O'Hare, right? The goal is to, I guess, get there quickly. And my adult child, who lived in a larger city, said, Mom, I've learned that if you stay in the middle lane, then you still get there about the same time and you don't have to worry about the traffic. You don't have to worry about, like, are you going to miss your exit? You're not worrying about if I'm going to pass this person, am I going to get hit? And that just gave me this visual example that I think we all need to remember, which is life is not a race. Like, life really is about living out the values that we have. And I don't care where you live, what your state of life is, no matter how urban, suburban, fast-paced your lifestyle is that you're surrounded with, no one is living your life but you. And at the end of the day, who's going to care? Except for those people who are most important to us. So in Uncomplicated, I talk about 10 different virtues that really are kind of these foundational virtues and life skills that we just kind of need to be reintroduced with, like practicality, fidelity, stewardship, contentment. They're kind of these basic life skills and values that are still present everywhere. We just need to be a little bit more grounded in what we're doing and why we're doing it, and then not worry about all the other things. And I know that sounds simple, but I live with a person who that's been his mantra his whole life, like, just like, don't worry about it. And so I think as we get ready to live a compelling life is not a simple laid back life. That's kind of the thing that I'm getting to. An uncomplicated life is not this Instagram dreamy, white, flowing curtains in the window lifestyle. It's about living our life daily. And it's really about knowing your values and then simply living them out. Because when we have our values in front of us, it filters all the things that come at us and say, I'm going to say yes to that and I'm going to say no to that. And those values may shift and change over your life stage, whether you're raising kids or in an empty nest, or if you're single or older in life. No matter where we are, we only have a certain amount of days to live. And if this life right now is as good as your life is ever going to get, then how can you live it to the fullest? Just, you can enjoy life. And that's what I loved about that middle lane analogy was, while you're driving in the middle lane, you can enjoy the ride because you're not worrying about passing people or getting there quickly. You're still going to get there, but you can enjoy the ride much more.
I love that. And just the thought of life is not a race. Oh my word. Now, Heather brought up personalities earlier, and I'm not all about personalities, but that is one of the things that drives me. And I am the type of personality that wants to get things done. I would not only say get into the left lane, but I would say get into the left lane, pass everyone that you can, then swing back over. But that mentality raises my anxiety, everything. It's exactly what your daughter said. No, just step back. It makes me think, be still and know I am God. I mean, there's so much practical application that we can take from what you're sharing with us today that fully aligns with biblical truth. And we need to be reminded, and life gets so busy that we need to be redirected.
Well, and I was, when we started this, I'm like, compelling life. Ooh, we're talking exciting. We're talking people look at my life and they're like, that's the life I want, And thinking about compelling in those Instagram-worthy images and this is my life and it's great and it's, all of this and thriving and big and, and I'm going, how in the world do we have an uncomplicated, how do we have a simple, calm life with, that is compelling? But then, thinking about what you were saying, calm is compelling. Not being stressed is compelling. Being able, like you said, to enjoy life in that middle lane and just being able to take in what's going on around you and being fully present, that's compelling. Who doesn't want those things in their life? It was kind of, as you were speaking there, a perspective shift for me. Compelling is drawing.
Yes.
That's good.
And I think that's the thing that I try to leave the reader with is that all of us have people in our lives who, when we think about who we want to emulate, these are the people who we say their life compels me to want a part of their demeanor or to live a life that is like theirs because it's so ordinary, but it's calm and full. It's calm, full, and rich. None of us say, I want to be like this Instagram influencer. All of us say, I want to be like my Aunt Mary because I saw her raise five kids when her husband died when she was 35. And she's gone on to put herself through graduate school and she is now a nurse practitioner. None of us say, I want to be like this person. Almost every one of us, if we ask, whose life compels me to be like them and what qualities about them do I want and want to model? It is someone who's influenced our life in such a deep way, but it's done over time and so subtle that we don't think about that person because they're not the voice right in front of us demanding our time and attention. Yet at the end of the day, in those quiet moments, we say, life is so crazy. But this person in my life is the one person I can look to say, they're not affected by this crazy life, but they've gone through hard things and they give me hope because I've seen them go through the hard things and their life hasn't fallen apart. And that's really why I started writing years ago the blog Life Beyond the Picket Fence, because I was going through a really difficult time as a parent, and I needed to see people in front of me who were walking through adversity with their family. And I saw them walk through it and make it to the other side with their faith still intact. And that's still what all of us need. All of us influence other people in our lives, and it's usually not by the grand things we do, like writing a book. It's really about them showing up and saying, "How are you doing?" when we know that they're going through something hard themselves.
That is good. And that does lead us right into our thought consideration for the day. The world needs my example of an uncomplicated and compelling life.
Not only does the world need it, our family members need it. If you're a grandparent, your grandchildren need it. Thank you so much, Brenda, for what you have brought us today.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And if you have a thought that you'd like to leave our listeners with,
I think my mantra that has come out of actually this whole book, the book launch, because it actually failed because Amazon didn't have stock of the books the day it was supposed to launch. It was kind of a disaster. My new mantra is life is complicated, but our response to it doesn't have to be. Because I think what that experience even showed me was we can plan. I think we become such a culture of if I plan, if I learn, I'm going to do these things and this is going to be the result. And again, God continues to show us our frailty of humanity. So I think if we can just say life is complicated, but how I respond to life doesn't have to be. I really need to just focus on what I can control. And what is within my sphere to control and what's outside of my control, then I need to really partner with God and say, okay, what's my next best step? And is that simple?
It's that simple, folks. It is uncomplicated. And what a great title of a book. Uncomplicated, Simple Secrets for a Compelling Life. And we do have the links, y'all. Highly recommend that you get your copy. You can get it on Amazon, and you can also get your book from Brenda if you go to brendayoder.com, Y-O-D-E-R, so brendayoder.com. And just thank you for being here, for sharing what God has taught you. And I'm going to tell you, the next time, and I go to Indiana quite a bit, so the next time I'm close by, I may give you a holler.
Well, we've got an Airbnb in our home, so you're welcome to stay with us at any time.
That sounds great to me, and I look forward to seeing you the next time.
And listeners, I know after today's conversation that you are probably wanting more than just the link to Brenda's book. And we aim to please here at Staying Real About Faith and Family. So in our show notes, you're also going to find all the ways you can connect with Brenda on social media. We have her website. We have her Instagram, her Facebook. We have her TikTok, which I don't even have a TikTok. So, you know, she is right where she needs to be there with that. Don't forget, she's got her podcasts as well. And if what she brings to all of these is even a smidgen of what she's brought us today, you're going to want to be connecting with her in these different ways. And Brenda, we do thank you again for being here. It has been a great conversation, and it's one we want to keep going. So listeners, friends, we invite you to participate in this conversation. Visit our webpage at stayingrealwithlinda.com and leave your comments, leave your questions, leave your examples of how you've uncomplicated your life and found that compelling, drawing peace and steadiness that's going to make others go, that's what I want in my life. We look forward to hearing from you, and we ask that you please subscribe to our podcast, take a moment to review it, rate it, share it with a friend, invite them into this conversation. Because like we said at the beginning of the show, everybody is looking to uncomplicate, to be able to focus on those things that they value the most and have that compelling life that makes others go, yeah, that looks wonderful and I'd love to have that.
Beautiful. Let us all choose to slow down. Let's slow down. Get to know those around us, love on people more, be that compelling person that God designed you to be, because He did. He's designed all of us to reach out to others in this world with truth and with a life that draws them to Him. Beautiful, beautiful. May Yahweh bless you and keep you in all that you do. Until next time, this is Linda Goldfarb
and Heather,
staying real about faith and family.